2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 24, 25, and 26. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read in unison from the King James Bible from verses 24 to the end of verse 26. And let's read, shall we? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I want you to notice the phrase here in verse number 25, the last half of that verse. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Last week, I started a series on repentance, and this is part two this morning. This is a Bible study slash sermon, so I hope and I pray this will be a help. I think it will be if you listen. Please, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for salvation. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that you comfort the hearts, folks that have lost loved ones. I know we have folks here in the hospital. I know we have folks traveling far. Lord, I pray that you'd meet the needs and just comfort them, their Holy Spirit. You said that you're the comforter. And so, dear God, we ask you to comfort these hearts. And there's others, Lord, they're going through heartaches and trials. They have burdens to carry. Dear God, I pray that this will be a help this morning, that we pay attention and listen to the Word of God. Lord, I pray as we walk out this morning that we'll be better off for being here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 24. Is probably one of those verses in the Bible that proves the definition of repentance. I put it in the top three or five verses in the entire Bible. Because if you've probably listened to other religious leaders who pervert the word repent, that teach you or tell you that repent means to change your life or to stop sinning, or to turn over a new leaf, or start living right, you'll see how ludicrous that definition is in this verse. Because it says in verse number 25, if God peradventure will give them repentance, watch this, to the acknowledging of the truth. If repent means to change your life or stop sinning, in order for somebody to come to God, they must change the way that they're living in order to acknowledge the truth. But that's ludicrous because no one can stop all their sins. Nobody can change all of a sudden, cold turkey, what they've been doing to get saved. You don't do that. That's blasphemous. That's heresy. Amen. But because repent in the Bible means to change your mind, it fits perfectly here. Because you have to change your mind to acknowledge the truth of the Word of God. For instance, when I was saved, before I got saved, I thought I was good enough. You know, I went to church, lit my candles. I was doing what the priest told me to do. I wasn't that bad. I didn't rob any banks, didn't kill anybody. I thought I was good. I thought my good was going to outweigh my bad until someone showed me what God said. And I said, oh, are you sure? Then conviction set in. So you know what I had to do? I had to change my mind about what I previously had thought about salvation. I had to change my mind to acknowledge the truth of the Word of God. That repentance definition fits everywhere in the Bible, especially in this verse. Because when you come to God for salvation, you have to discard everything that you've been taught that's been contrary to the Word of God. Your church membership will not satisfy God's demand for justice, for sinners that are cursed of God. Your baptism will not suffice. Your good moral life, your good ethical life will not suffice. All the money you've ever given to charities and churches and organizations and all the people that you've ever helped and little old ladies you helped cross a street and all the times you've donated at a soup kitchen, that's not going to help at all. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away our sins. When you realize that, you know what you do? You change your mind and say, man, I didn't realize I was that bad. I didn't realize I was that wicked of a sinner. I didn't realize I deserved to go to hell to pay for my sin. And guess what happens? You change your mind and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. And it is that simple. It is that easy that a five-year-old boy or girl can do it. But PhDs can't because their ego and their pride are too big. Their reputation is more important. Their whole life's reputation, ego is at stake. They can't tell everybody, well, I was born again now. I can't, what are my neighbors and friends and relatives and church family going to think of me? Well, you have to acknowledge what God says. Give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Have you acknowledged the word of God as the word of God? Have you acknowledged that every single word is true? Have you changed your mind about what you previously thought and have come to God for salvation? No works can save a person. No good deeds can save a person. Only by pleading for the mercy of God to save your soul from hell can a person be saved. Please take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 12. The Gospel of John, chapter number 12. Again, there's a Bible study / sermon this morning on repentance. And God's very clear that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants everybody to change their mind to trust him as their Savior. John chapter 12. Verse number 37. John chapter number 12, verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now, verse number 42, I personally believe is one of the most hated verses of the repentance works crowd in America today. We're going to read this slowly because this is exactly what God said. Believe exactly every single word as it is written. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I didn't write that. Jesus said that. You know what he's saying? There's a whole bunch of Catholics that are saved. I don't know the number. Don't pin me to a number because only God knows the number. That I believe have gotten saved, born again, have met with a loved one, a friend, a stranger, bowed their head and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save their soul, but refused to leave the heathen, heretical, worldly, godless Catholic church because of their pride and their ego. I know because that's where I was when I got saved. One of the hardest battles in my life was leaving the Greek Orthodox Church. What's my family going to say? What are they going to think? Everybody's going to think I've gone nuts. I've gone crazy. What are they going to think? One of the greatest decisions I ever made in my life after I got saved, November 1978, after I got saved, was leaving the Greek Orthodox Church. There are too many people with their reputations are more important to them than the Word of God. Yeah, their friendships with false friends in the world are more important to them than the Word of God. They're saved. I'm talking about saved people now who don't want to come out from among them, be separate. They're saved, but they're spineless and they're cowards. They're afraid to associate with Bible-believing Baptist churches. Why? Because you know the stigma. You know what people say about Hellfire and Damnation Baptists. Oh, you're crazy. You go overboard, Pastor. Pastor, you're just too far out there, Pastor. Well, we have a chapter and verse for everything we believe. Do you? Amen. Now, you better be careful because you can't say that all the people that go to a Catholic church or a Protestant church or a Greek Orthodox church are lost. You better be careful when you say that. Because Jesus said here, he said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But their pride refused. They didn't want to humble themselves. Hey, you know why teenagers get saved, don't want to come to church? Because they got a chip on their shoulder. What are their teenage friends going to say? Can you imagine a 13, 14, 15-year-old punk getting advice about life from another 13, 14, 15-year-old punk? So, oh, you're going to go to church now? Oh, no, I just go once in a while. I don't go all the time. You know, they're embarrassed. Their pride gets the best of them. Yeah, you know, parents are the same way. Children are the same way. Teenagers are the same way. Pastors are the same way. Religious leaders are the same way. I personally believe there are some men that are pastors of evangelical, lukewarm Baptist churches, but they're too spineless to preach the truth. I'm not saying they're all saved. I don't know who's saved. Only God knows who's saved. But my preaching hasn't changed in 32 years. This is exactly what Baptists used to preach 100 years ago. This is exactly what Baptists used to preach 200 years ago. This is exactly what Baptists preached 300 years ago. And this is why Baptists were martyred and burned at the stake by the Catholic Pope during the Dark Ages for 1,000 years. Because we changed our minds. So you know what? God's right and we're wrong. And I don't want to be on the devil's side no more. I want to be on God's side. Hey, there was a time it was popular in America to do this. That time has waned. That time is gone, ladies and gentlemen. But it doesn't matter if it's popular or not. It's still right. Just because the majority doesn't believe it doesn't mean it's not right. I believe queers have more courage than closeted believers. Let me repeat that. I think the homosexual faggots and perverts have more courage than closeted believers who have too much pride and ego to do that which is right because of what somebody may say about them. Somebody might do something to you. Somebody might persecute you. It's okay for the Apostle Paul to be beheaded by Nero. It's okay for John the Baptist to be beheaded by Herod. It's okay for Jesus to be crucified, but I don't want anybody to bother me. See, you have an Americanized Christianity, not a Bible Christianity. You need to get rid of your pride and your ego and believe what God said and change your mind. And only then will God bless you. That's why people don't leave the Masons. Heathen, heretical, damnable place. The Eastern Star. KFC. Not the chicken place. The Knights of Columbus. Well, I'm a member there, Pastor. I've been a member there for 20, 30 years. I don't care. I was a member of other things too, and I got rid of it. I quit it when I got saved. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day today, Pastor, and I'm a member of the Hibernians. It's sad that God's people are hibernating while the Hibernians are drinking their liquor, parading down the streets, promoting their heathenism. They're more proud of their heritage than you're glad that you're saved. Queers today have more courage than closeted believers who refuse to open their mouth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you want to criticize the sodomites and the abortion crowd. You want to criticize what you think is wrong with New York State or America. You know what it is? It's God's people. That's what's wrong with America. If God's people start changing their mind today and decide to live right and turn to God, we could have revival. But we're not going to because God's people are full of themselves. They're still mad at the preaching. Now, if repent means to turn from your sins, is it all of your sins? Most of your sins? Some of your sins? Which sin, if repent means, and I've heard Baptist pastors say this, repent means that you have to turn from your sin. Which sin is it? Which sins, plural, is it? You won't find anywhere in the Bible that says that. I hope I don't mess up this story. True story, by the way. A young man, college-age student, had a knock on his door. I'm going back 40 years ago or so now. Some soul went and knocked on his door. He opened the door, cigarette in hand. I think he had a T-shirt, but don't hold me to it. He just, you know, dressed in jeans and a T-shirt, smoking a cigarette. Soul winner knocks on his door and gives him the gospel. Tells him that you need to be born again. And here's what that sinner said behind the door, in the doorway there. He says, if I do what you tell me to do, do I have to quit smoking? And the soul winner wisely said, no. See, you're too full of yourself. You say, oh, yeah, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't dance, you can't go do this, you can't start doing that, you can't stop doing that. You got to change your whole life if you're going to get saved. The soul winner wisely said, no, you don't have to stop smoking to get saved. And the man said, good, because I'm never quitting smoking. The man got saved. And he now pastors one of the largest independent fundamental Baptist churches in America, in East Hartford, Connecticut, where my son-in-law, Tim Davis, grew up, Dr. Michael Stoddard. You see, the average mentality today is, oh no, you can't get saved unless you put that stuff away, and you gotta turn the television off, and you gotta start dressing right before you listen to me, and no, you're not gonna get really saved unless you come to church and you start giving and tithing. That's a repentance works salvation that is damnable heresy. The only thing a person needs to be saved from hell is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thief on the cross was saved, never went to church, never got baptized, never gave any money, never went soul winning. But he changed his mind on the cross. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, he said. Today. Naked, hanging on a cross, naked. You're too full of yourself. You think too highly of yourself. You haven't read what the Bible says about us. We're a bunch of sinners. You're either a lost sinner on your way to hell, or you're a saved sinner by the mercy of God on your way to heaven. One of the two, pick which one it is. If you're a lost sinner, if I were you, I'd change your mind. Before the invitation, before you walk out, while you're sitting in a pew there this morning, I would change your mind, because you can drop dead of a heart attack right now. Jackie's brother died of a heart attack just a few days ago. 30 years old. Grew up before he moved away in this church. Saved in this church. He didn't know he was going to die. I didn't know he was going to die. And you didn't know he was going to die. You think you're going to live another day, another week, another month, another year. You go ahead, listen to the devil's lies like that. The sooner you change your mind, the sooner off God will bless you. The sooner you repent, changing your mind and aligning it up with what God said, God will bless you. Amen. Men are trying to do work to go to heaven. I'm talking about Baptists this morning. Men are trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit and trying to play the Holy Ghost of God conviction instead of God convicting the soul and the spirit. My job is not to convict you. My job is to preach the truth. If God wants to convict you, you'll be convicted. If you want to get angry at the preaching, then you'll just leave and never come back. But you're gonna settle it at the judgment seat. It'll be settled there. So when somebody says you got to turn from your sins in order to be saved, how about the sins that the person is speaking? Most every person is committing a sin right now that they either do not know is a sin, or they change the King James Bible so that their sin is no longer a sin in their mind, or they have redefined the English words of 1611 to mean something today that they never meant before. So they make up these words and they make up these definitions and change the word and the definition, the meaning of repent, because they're arrogant, they're puffed up, they're stiff-necked, they're pharisaical, egotistical, hypocritical liars. They're rebels and they're Judases. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. The reason why people don't get saved is because of pride, the love of money, the love of sin, the fear of man. And that'll be the same reason why you don't want to live right. After you get saved, after you repent, after you change your mind, it'll be your pride, the love of money, the love of your sin, or the fear of man. What are people going to say? I don't know. What are they going to say? You're going to meet Jeremiah, who is thrown in the dungeon by his own people for preaching against their sin. You're going to meet him if you're saved. You're going to meet Jeremiah in heaven if you're saved. And he's going to ask you, what did you do for God? So these fake, phony, fraud religious leaders deceive their willingly deceived followers, and their willingly deceived followers love to have it so, the Bible says. Yeah. These people who preach a repentance work, they're the same people that drink their occasional alcohol instead of believing what God said. These same hypocritical religious works pastors and religious leaders in evangelical churches say that you have to turn from all your sin, but they're undressing like the world in ungodly dress. They never go soul winning. They never go street preaching. But they're trying to tell you repent means to turn from all your sins when they haven't even turned from their sins. Where's the list of sins in the Bible that you need to turn to? Show me one verse in the Bible. You won't find one verse, one passage, one chapter that has a list of sins that you need to turn from in order to be saved. That's a pastor threatening you that you don't really have salvation if you don't do what I tell you to do. Well, you won't find that anywhere in the Bible. And by the way, this is one reason why people get upset at the preaching and just leave, because I teach, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose it. And you say, to yourself, well, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I don't have to come back here anymore. You're right. Because this, your salvation does not depend on this church here. Your salvation does not depend on John Cletus or the preaching of the Word of God at the pulpit. Your salvation does not depend on touching that ham outside the door right there. No, it don't. Your salvation depends on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washing away all your sins when you changed your mind and believed on Jesus Christ for salvation. When did you get saved? When were you born again? Because Jesus said you must be born again. Not it's a good idea. Not if you have time. He said you must be born again. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. What are they going to say at the bingo hall this week, Pastor? What's the clerk at the convenience store going to say when I don't buy all those lottery tickets anymore, Pastor? What's the clerk at the liquor store going to say when I don't buy all that beer and the wine and the booze, Pastor? Why don't you decide to repent and get right with God? So these heretics who preach a lordship salvation life and tell people that they're not really saved. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say right now. Noah got drunk after he found grace in the eyes of God and saved mankind. Moses killed a man after God called him and he knew God. Abraham and Isaac both lied about their wives and were willing to give their wives to other men. The Bible says that Lot was just and had a righteous soul that was vexed in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was willing to allow his two virgin daughters to be raped by the Sodomites. Samson, who had big major women problems, was put into Hebrews chapter 11 by God Almighty in the Hall of Faith chapter. God repented that he made Saul king because Saul got a big head after he got king, became king, after God blessed him, and he disobeyed the word of God, and God rejected him, the Bible says. Samuel refused to force his children to obey God. David committed adultery and murder after he killed Goliath. The wisest man, Solomon, worshiped pagan and heathen gods at the end of his life because of all his strange wives and concubines. Peter was used of Satan after Jesus called him into the ministry. Paul calls himself evil in Romans chapter number 7. Barnabas was a good man but parted ways with Paul because they had a very big disagreement over John Mark, who had left Paul because he was homesick and left Paul. Then John Mark got right with God, and Paul used him later on in the ministry. But you never hear from Barnabas again. These were all good men, godly men, except for Lot. That God saved and God used. Because they were sinners saved by grace. If all these men, and these are good men, better men than you and I are. If all these men made it in Hebrews chapter number 11, Hall of Faith, how in the world can you believe some lying heretic, preacher, pastor, religious leader who says that you're not really saved because of some sin that you're committing or some sin that you have committed? My God is a God of mercy who forgives everybody, ladies and gentlemen, if they're willing to change their mind and come to God. God is a very patient, forgiving God. You don't understand salvation if you think you have to work for it. We went through those verses last week. Salvation is not works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Titus chapter number 3, verse 5. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But you listen to this hogwash, whether it's on the radio or television, and these pastors say, you're not really saved. Where's that in the Bible? Well, you may be disobedient. You may be a rebel. You may be far away from God. That doesn't mean you're not saved, though. I don't know. I can't see the heart. Only God sees the heart. I don't know what you're thinking in your heart. I don't know if you're thinking, man, Pastor, you're right. I've been wrong. Or I don't know if you're thinking, man, can he just shut up right now? I want to go home. I have no idea what you're thinking. And really don't care what you're thinking. But I'm telling you, you're going to meet the God who wrote this book. You better straighten it up right now before you take your last breath. What this country needs is men and women of God who are willing to go soul winning and knock on doors and share the gospel and tell folks about Jesus Christ. That's what's missing in this country. While the vast majority of God's people have become lukewarm and disobedient and rebellious, enjoying their one church meeting a week, not going soul winning where people are hurting and marriages are splitting and families are being destroyed by liquor and drugs and gambling, and the streets are full of violence and evil and wickedness, the vast majority of God's people criticize the socialist democrats or the sodomites or the abortion crowd for destroying this nation. And I say it is God's people who have refused to share the simple plan of salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Savior of mankind, especially of those that believe, the Bible says. While their fake, phony, and fraud leaders teach heresies to their congregations, that it's difficult. It's hard for people to get saved. Because, you know, they have to turn from this sin or that sin or these sins or those sins. The vast majority of God's people are blaming the sinners instead of the heretics who lead them. I'm telling you that there are people who are willing to be saved and who want to be saved and would gladly get saved if you would just go out and find them and tell them. But the average pastor or minister is so preoccupied with the rich, fancy folks in the middle class who have a good income and live in nice neighborhoods and drive brand new fancy cars. That's the people that they want to come to their church. They're neglecting the projects and the slums and the crime-ridden areas that are dangerous to walk through. They might chip their manicures. Their uppity noses might smell some apartments that reek with feces and urine. Their clothes might brush up against filthy, dirty walls and furniture. Their eyes might behold the mice and rats that run along the floor and the cockroaches that crawl all over the walls and the ceilings. Their self-righteous ears might hear the African jungle music that they detest while they listen to their own country rock songs on their way home, which is the same kind of version of the African jungle rock music. They would never want to touch their fingers or their hands with these unclean heathen pagans, because they're so sanitized with their Purell and other hand cleansers. They could never sit down and eat a meal with a family that only eats plasticized, cheap food because their all-natural and organic diet is important for their belly, which has become their God, the Bible says. Disregarding what Jesus himself said, that when they were to sit down and eat whatever is set before you, asking nothing for conscience sake. Of course, they could never go to the bad neighborhoods because their expensive car is more important to them than the souls of mankind hearing the gospel and getting saved. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why there is no revival in America. That is why God's people are stiff-necked and rebellious when it comes to the old-time religion. They've gotten rid of the King James Bibles, and they believe these lying, money-hungry, fake, phony, fraud religious leaders. That's why they hate this kind of preaching. It's too convicting. That's why the gun-loving country boy would rather drink his liquor and smoke his weed and go hunting and fishing and never darken the doors of lost people and share the gospel with them. That's why this lukewarm, big-box, evangelical bunch of liars are full of themselves and think too highly of themselves while they sit comfortably in front of their widescreen TVs, laptop computers, stupid cell phones, and are more concerned about their social media profile and how they can pretend how much they love God while they disobey the very clear commands of God Almighty. Oh, I love Jesus so much. Look how pretty I am. Look at me. Look at us. Look where we've been. Look how photogenic I am. Look how beautiful we look. Look how we can smile. Look at this expensive hotel and the beach and the vacation and the clothes and the cars that we have. Look, look, everybody, look at me. While men and women, boys and girls, people in prisons and jails, people in nursing homes, people in hospitals, hospice, people in the ghettos and high crime areas are going to bed tonight not knowing who their daddy is, not knowing who their mom is, not knowing if they're going to live tomorrow. And you sit there with a cold, hard heart. You get married to preaching. God have mercy on your soul, because you're going to meet God one day. They don't know if they're going to live tomorrow. They don't think anybody loves them. They don't think anybody cares about them. They've never heard about heaven or hell. You got it all made. You got everything given to you in a silver platter. You grumble and complain and murmur about the stupidest things. How sad. I know hearts are getting colder and harder. I know that. But I believe that's happening more and more because God's people's hearts are getting colder and harder. And they don't care about those who are struggling and hurting. So many people are caught up in politics and money and their own personal lives of getting ahead that they've forgotten, forsaken the command that Jesus said not to forget the poor and to preach the gospel to the poor. I said before, there are no poor people in America, and I still believe that. But there are people who are hurting because they live and think like a bunch of savages and animals who need to hear about the love and mercy of Almighty God, who can save their soul from hell. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. You're either lost on your way to hell when you die, or you've asked Jesus for mercy to save your soul from hell, to take you to heaven when you die. No church, no baptism, no religious works, not the rosary, not your candles, not your icons, not your statues. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. Too many religious Baptists think too highly of themselves. That's why we get caught up in this repentance works salvation. That is not salvation by faith through grace alone. That's why we all need hellfire and damnation preaching to keep us right with God. A lack of hellfire and damnation preaching is convicting to those who claim to be self-righteous and holier than thou, but it reveals their lack of God and lack of love for the Word of God and how lukewarm they really are. These lordship salvation heretics obviously do not believe Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? They obviously don't believe Deuteronomy 22:5. They obviously don't believe Isaiah 47:1-3. What most saved people refuse to believe is what God says very specifically concerning the wicked, the sinful, the vile flesh that cloaks every single person on planet Earth. I don't care if you're saved or lost. Paul called himself evil in Romans 7. You think you're better than the Apostle Paul? And it's interesting that usually the same crowd that criticizes us for easy believism and who teach and promote lordship salvation, that's a work salvation, are the same ones who do not obey the very clear commands in Scripture. Then they get angry at us, pointing the fingers, You can repent of any sin this morning. You can't change your mind. Because there will come a time it's going to be too late to repent. Listen to me good. That's in part three or part four. The time of repentance is going to pass, and you're going to wish to God that you could have changed your mind. And it's going to be lost. It's going to be gone. You can't change your mind this morning. God commands us to repent. God commands us to change our minds of the unbelief of what God said in his word. Too many times, the only thing you hear after the word repent is some awful, wicked sins that people need to stop doing. Well, the word repent applies to all sin and to all forms of unbelief. You can and must repent for not reading your Bible enough or daily. You can and must repent of not spending time with Jesus in your prayer closet, on your knees daily, and for not long enough. You can and you must repent for making excuses why you do not attend church when the doors are open, for drinking any and all kinds of alcohol, getting drunk, cursing and swearing, using God's name in vain, blaspheming, committing adultery in your heart or not, fornication, hatred, dishonoring your parents, disobeying your parents, hating your parents, being lazy, being contemptuous of your husband, talking back to your parents, your husband, being a bossy wife, acting like a Jezebel, being on Facebook all day and making an excuse why you can't obey the word of God. You fellows, you can repent today for not getting a job or getting two jobs to pay the bills. Not providing for your wife and children, you lazy bum. Get a job. Get off the dole. Get off of welfare. Get off of food stamps. You can repent today. Making your wife go to work. So you can sit in front of a stupid box, idiot box, watching sports, drinking your beer. You can repent today. Too stinking lazy to get a job, to pay the bills, while you're a sports addict, spending time with the boys instead of your wife, ladies spending time with the girls instead of your husband, sending your children to government school because you're too stinking lazy to whip their rear end when they needed it. You're jealous and envious of others. You covet what others have. You're easily angered and agitated by others. Hey, you can repent of this stuff too. Amen. You can change your mind of this stuff too. And having no self-control over your mouth, over your emotions, over your actions, I say you can repent this morning. I say you can get right with God this morning. In meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves. That's our text verse this morning. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose. You're fighting yourself. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Why don't you decide to get right with God this morning? Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about the sodomites and the queers and the faggots. Don't worry about the abortion crowd. You ought to be concerned about yourself right now, whether you believe what God said, and get right with God. Are you saved this morning? You need to repent and change your mind about some things that you're not doing right. Are you lost this morning? You need to change. You need to repent. Change your mind about going to hell. And ask God for mercy to save your soul this morning. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for a group of people that love you. And there's a whole bunch of people in here, in this room, that are hurting this morning. I know that my heart breaks for them. And you're the comforter. There's no greater comfort than the Word of God. There's no greater comfort than heaven. There's no greater comfort than salvation. There's no greater comfort than knowing that one day we're going to be with you face to face. Not because of our church membership, not because of what church we attend, not because we were baptized, not because we were good enough. Because the day someone shared the gospel with us, and the day we realized that we had been wrong, and we changed our minds, we repented, and we trusted you and you alone to save our souls from hell. Dear God. I pray, dear God, this morning, speak to our hearts, dear Holy Spirit of God. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.